Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. Today we follow the order of prayer and preaching found on page 260 in Lutheran Service Book. The hymn is number 627, Jesus Christ, Our Blessed Savior. The text is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 29. The Reverend Dr. Rick Serena is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is Thursday after Holy Trinity. And that means, for Roman Catholics, it is a celebration of the Feast of Corpus Christi, dedicated to the sacrament and to the commemoration of the sacrament of Holy Communion. Now, maybe that's why Chaplain Denzer chose the epistle lesson that he did for today, tricky as it can be. And maybe that's why he gave me the marching orders that he did for this homily, because that's what chaplains get to do, right? He told me, and I quote, "I want a clear, didactic sermon on the Lord's Supper no more than 7 minutes." What could possibly go wrong? Well, I told him I'm not sure about clear, and I'm not sure about didactic, and I'm certainly not sure about 7 minutes. I warn you about that up front. But I can at least give you a sermon on the Lord's Supper, so I hope that will do. Now that I've wasted one of those precious 7 minutes, I should probably get on with it. Fortunately for us, there may be no more direct explanation of the Lord's Supper, of what it is, and how we should approach it, than in this epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians 11. Within our circles, there is sometimes a tendency to jump past the first part of this lesson to the second part, past what the sacrament is to who should receive it. And that's perfectly understandable given the historic tensions and sensitivities over the question of table fellowship. But understand, that's not the line of argument that St. Paul takes here. In this passage, who receives the sacrament matters so much because of what the sacrament is. Better yet, who is present in and through. And here, St. Paul is completely unambiguous. He records for us the words of institution that Jesus Christ gave his disciples on the night he was betrayed. The same words St. Paul had undoubtedly brought and spoken first to those Corinthians when he planted that church a few years earlier, when he first celebrated the sacrament with them. These words of institution make absolutely and unequivocally clear what the sacrament is. It is the true physical body and blood of Jesus Christ himself, the crucified, resurrected, and ascended Lord Jesus Christ, present there in with and under the elements of bread and wine. But this sacrament does not symbolize the body of Christ. It does not represent the body of Christ. It does not merely signify or memorialize the body of Christ. It does not metonymize the body of Christ. Yes, I just said metonymize the body of Christ. No, it truly is, according to Christ's word and and his promise. Those words of institution make absolutely clear that the same eternal Son of God and second person of the Holy Trinity is mysteriously present there alongside those elements of bread and wine according to his promise. And that same flesh that he took from the Virgin Mary, the same flesh with which he lifted that bread and blessed that cup on the night he was betrayed, that same flesh that hung suffering, bleeding, and dying on a cross on Good Friday, that same flesh that burst forth victoriously from the dead on the third day, that same flesh that has, on the 40th day of his resurrection, ascended to rule and reign through all creation in and through his church, now is present for you when you approach that table. Now let me tell you something. I'll just take a quick break, and I'm sure this will take us over 7 minutes. Pastor Denzer is squirming. As a trained church historian, I'll say this. By all accounts, no one rejected this fact prior to the radical wing of the Reformation in the 16th century. Many may have explained the presence of Christ differently. Many of it may have understood how he could be present differently. But no one flatly rejected the fact that Jesus Christ could be, and in fact was, present at his table for his people to receive. No one, that is, until names like Andreas Bodenstein von Karlstadt, Johannes Ecolampadius, Ulrich Zwingli in the 16th century. My apologies, church history lecture over. Back to the text. The reason we believe Jesus Christ is present is not necessarily because others have affirmed it before us or because the tradition has long held it. It's not necessarily because it makes sense to us or it seems reasonable to us. No, we believe it because Jesus tells us it is so in his word. We believe it to be true because Jesus promises it in his word. In passages just like this, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke. Here your Lord says he will be present for you in a uniquely physical, tangible way through the sacrament of his supper. Now, as your chaplain, again, I keep mentioning him, he's going to get a big head. As your chaplain so aptly mentioned yesterday in his homily, to confess that something is true does not mean we understand it completely on a rational level. It doesn't mean it satisfies our intellectual curiosity. It doesn't always mean we can explain it terribly well. What it does mean is that we believe what God says about it in his word. And that's the case for the sacrament of the altar. We confess that Christ is truly and physically present in the sacrament because he promises to be. In faith, we take him at his word. We trust that he is present, and he's present there for us, truly, physically, bodily, so close that we can reach out and grasp him and receive from him all that he promises us at his table. He is present there, not because we think he is, because we have been good enough to receive him, because we can explain his presence rationally. He's not there because the pastor speaks a certain way, or looks a certain way, or conducts himself a certain way. No, your Lord is present there because he said he would, because he promised he would. Passages just like this. So ultimately, that's why St. Paul warns the Corinthians to approach the table of the Lord with utmost seriousness. Because Jesus is present there. Because Jesus gives his true body and blood to those who receive the sacrament, whether they believe it or not, whether they know it or not. Because Jesus does so to the condemnation of those who reject he offers, but the forgiveness, life, and salvation of those who believe he is present there. He's present there for them. And that's why we take so seriously who comes to our altars. The reason we insist upon a right instruction and right examination of all who commune at our altars is because of how seriously we take the Christ who is present there. We take seriously who receives the sacrament at the Lord's table, because we take seriously the Lord who comes to us there.
need. It is the crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ who comes to us there. Just as he promised in his word, he comes in his glorified and ascended flesh to forgive us, to save us, to strengthen and sustain our faith in him. Now, it may have been a little longer than 7 minutes, Chaplain, but I hope that's didactic enough, and I certainly hope that's clear enough. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the congregations of the South Dakota District and their pastors, together with all schools, teachers, and church workers. We also pray for missionaries, the Reverend Eric and Joanna Snenet, who serve the Lord in Ethiopia. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.